This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and good morning, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and glad you're with us this weekend as we talk about you and your career. We talk about you and your health. We talk about you and what you can do to make your life better as you begin to get to that age where you're a little bit over 50. But if you're a younger listener, we've got some tools for you to help you to navigate through life's ups and downs and successes as well. With us to help navigate in our career segment is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects, and also he's featured in a brand new book entitled Ultimate Success, Breaking the Chains of Mediocrity to Transform Your Life with the author Kevin Leonard. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Thank you for the shout out there for Kevin's new book. And you know, some of the areas I basically talk about are what I've been talking about in New Beginnings, and that's the hidden job market. And how do you self-market yourself? And how do you stand out? And that it ties into what we're talking about today. But I appreciate both you and Kevin for acknowledging some of the work that I've done and helping everybody that either listens to me on New Beginnings or works with me to find ways to navigate the hidden job market so everybody gets an opportunity to thrive in their career.
Well, outstanding work that both of you do. And last week when we were together, we talked about how to stand out in a job search. We were talking about the ways that you can really go from just being somebody who's just another applicant to really making a mark. And you outlined three important areas last week when we were talking together about this. Can you reacquaint our audience with what we talked about and to bring new listeners in who may not have heard last week?
Yeah, we talked about three ways to stand out in a tactical way to stand out in the hiring process. And one of them was bring a high level of curiosity about the opportunity. And what I mean by that is really diving down to make sure that this is a good career move for you. Ask good questions throughout the hiring process, not about compensation, about where there is opportunity to grow, what are the challenges so that employer sees you as this is the move of a lifetime for you, but they're going to benefit because they have that right person. And often when we don't go that deep in regards to that opportunity, it's more about maybe about just compensation or a lateral move or a bigger title. It really revolves around being able to thrive in that new job, and you do that by standing out, high level of curiosity. Second point is, you know, make sure that you realize that there's very small differences between the final applicants in most hiring processes. So go towards the end of the hiring interviewing process because the hiring team slowly over, you know, gets new information that they can use. They may even modify a question that's different. Who knows? But just be aware of that. And final, third, self-market yourself. And that is a way to stand out when you market yourself in the hidden job market or just through this whole process, Freddie.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie talking about how to stand out going from tactical to thoughtful in your job search. So talk about the thoughtful ways, Joe McKenzie, that a job seeker can stand out in this job search process.
This is as important as the tactical side. And I my guess is some people would disagree with me, but that's okay. But I know that number of things that I've done in my career that I've stood up for hasn't been always the tactical, but the thoughtful, the mindful, the acknowledging people, to keep people updated. And what I say by that is in a job search, and I've said this for close to 6 years now, a job search is not something you go about alone. You engage with the people that you know in your professional network and your neighborhoods and your faith organizations, your family, people you volunteer with. And if you are going to engage with the people that you know, you certainly have to take a thoughtful approach. And what I mean by that is if they give you a piece of information that you run with and you never acknowledge or circle back with or thank them or just recognize them for their efforts, you're certainly not going to stand out in that job search. People are going to become disinterested because of the way they've been treated. And sometimes all it is is a small, short thank you note, Freddie, thanking you, someone, for that piece of information or that time over coffee or that lead or that new book. I think the thoughtful ways to stand out are as important as the tactical ways. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. And I'm just curious, are you also saying that people don't have what I call just these basic common courtesies to say thank you for the lead, thank you for the direction, thank you for counseling with me, thanks for having coffee with me? They skip that part?
I think at times we do. We live in a busy world, Freddie. We have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of distractions. And so ask yourself, how many thank you notes have you received in regards to people that you've maybe even just said, hey, read this book, read this chapter. Hey, this organization may be looking for someone like you. Hey, let me take a look at your LinkedIn or resume. We don't get enough thank yous in my estimation, because I don't know if it's just that people are caught up in the busyness of life. But the title of this segment is Finding Ways to Stand Out. And if you want to stand out within a job search, the simplest way might be to write a thank you note or picking up the phone and saying, hey, thank you. This is what I got from this article you shared. Those are the little ways to stand out. And yes, it is common courtesy, Freddie. And I think it's as important to stand out, because you want to keep everybody that you've told engaged in your job search, right?
That's correct. So that is a way. I didn't want to interrupt that thought.
Exactly. If say someone gives you a name of someone, and all of a sudden, because of that coffee meeting we had with them, circle back with them either with a short email saying, hey, I had a great conversation with this person that you referred. This is the new piece of information I got from it. Thank you. Versus them finding out 2 months later that they met with someone. I think that is certainly not telling someone or keeping them updated is certainly a way to not stand out. We're trying to find a way to stand out, but in a thoughtful way. And so I think it's as critical, and I teach this to all my clients, and I teach people right out of college, learn to write short notes, either handwritten and stamped, or pick up the phone and just thank them, leave them a voicemail, or if you know, even an email. But acknowledge. The key word is acknowledge, and that is an important way to stand out on the thoughtful side of a job search.
Is there one surefire method of standing out, and especially in the thoughtful aspect of all of this?
I would think that a thank you note that is genuine and to the point. I don't think we get enough mail. I think if you truly, from the perspective of standing out, send a thank you note. And if you don't have their address, you can scan it on your printer and email it to them. But I think the fact is that you stop, put pen to paper, put your thoughts in order, and get that to them takes an extra step or two. I think a thank you note goes a long way, but I would say almost a tie, Freddie, might even be picking up the phone and calling them and maybe leaving a voicemail or just thanking them, hearing your voice. I think it's a tie between a handwritten thank you note and someone hearing your voice, to be honest.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, our co-host on New Beginnings, and we're talking about 5 steps to stand out in a job search. So what are your final thoughts on this topic before we have to leave it, Joe?
To find ways to stand out. The competition is very strong in the Twin Cities, from both tactical to thoughtful. Find ways to stand out. What's your differential? And that could be just the way you approach your job search, because when you from the thoughtful side, when you acknowledge people's work, you may be able to work with them in the future versus just using them at a time you needed them in a job search. You might miss out on an opportunity to collaborate down the road just by forgetting to write a thank you note or forgetting to pick up that phone. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the message that I'm trying to get out there today to all generations, is that finding ways to stand out, being thoughtful, goes a long way for both sides. And that's my final thoughts on how to stand out from the thoughtful side.
So now we see why Kevin included you in his book, because you're so insightful on how to really to stand out in this really competitive job search market. You can find Kevin's book. The name of the book is Ultimate Success. However, Joe McKenzie is right here every week on New Beginnings, our co-host, and you do some fine work yourself, sir, at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones. All available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall with the House Geeks and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here on AM 950. If you're thinking about making a move, check out our free books, which you can request at housegeeks.com. The Smart Home Buyer Book is a guide through one of your biggest financial decisions. This book covers how to find some of the best values on homes and loans, how to navigate and negotiate on homes with multiple offers, all the way through getting what you want out of your inspection contingency. Don't forget about our Smart Seller, a guide through the sale process and maximizing value. In this book, we cover how to prepare your home for sale, knowing how long it will take for your home to sell, and how to determine what your home will sell for. We also uncover the truth behind instant offers. If you would like a copy of either of these free books, check us out online at housegeeks.com to request yours today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. As our show continues this weekend, I know there's a lot of talk about coronavirus and COVID-19 and our response to it, how it can really affect people with compromised immune systems. And I came across some information about how we can bolster our immune systems. The question is, does exercise help or hinder our body's ability to fight off infections? The latest science suggests that being fit boosts our immune systems and that even a single workout can amplify and improve our ability to fight germs. That's really encouraging. Now, many of us have heard that exercise will tamp down our immune systems, opening us up to pathogens and illness. That notion gained credence in the late 1980s when studies were showing that marathon running increased the incidence of infection symptoms. That according to John Campbell, who's a professor at the University of Bath in England. However, those studies turned out to have relied too heavily on self-diagnosis. In laboratory testings after these races, a few marathoners proved to have had respiratory infections. Instead, most had developed airway irritations. Follow-up studies established that marathon runners and other endurance athletes tended, in fact, to report few annual sick days. At the same time, though, some research hinted that one strenuous workout might temporarily diminish our immune responses soon afterwards. However, subsequent experiments offered a different explanation. In remarkable experiments with rodents, scientists marked off some of their immune cells with a phosphorescent dye and had them run to exhaustion. The scientists noted that the levels of glowing cells in their bloodstream spiked and then plummeted just as they expected. But they also found that a few of those cells had died. Instead, they had traveled to the animal's lungs, guts, and other parts of their bodies, potentially the most vulnerable to germ invasions during the exercise. There are caveats, of course. If you've not been exercising, right now might not be the ideal moment to start an ambitious new workout. And don't ignore basic hygiene and common sense. Wash your hands often before and after your exercise, and there are some who say even during your exercise. And above all, skip your workout if you don't feel well. Just some ideas to make you think about how you can bolster your immune system. I know that you've heard a lot about COVID-19, the coronavirus, probably more than you ever want to discuss. However, I thought it would be remiss if we didn't share information from our perspective here on New Beginnings to talk a little bit about COVID-19 and how you can prepare, prevent, and most of all, don't panic about COVID-19. There are a lot of research firms, a lot of companies, health departments are committed to patient safety, and they all are saying a similar thing, that if we're prepared and we're ready, we can respond. And that also helps the health caregivers to respond to our needs and concerns about this pandemic. Here's what you need to know about COVID-19 coronavirus. Most healthy people who become infected with COVID-19 are going to have mild symptoms and won't have severe illness. That according to Dr. Tosh, who is an infectious disease specialist at Mayo Clinic. She goes on to say that older people and people with certain underlying health conditions like heart disease, lung disease, and diabetes, for example, seem to be at greater risk of becoming seriously ill. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, all of these entities really are in concert on this idea. The question becomes, really, then, how is COVID-19 transmitted? It is thought to spread similarly to the flu. That is, it spreads person to person through respiratory droplets from an infected person's cough or their sneeze. And these droplets can land on surfaces within about 6 feet and can spread to other people after they contact these infected surfaces with their hands and subsequently touch their face. Another question that comes about is, can I catch COVID-19 from contact with an object rather than a person? And the answer is an emphatic yes. You can catch COVID-19 from an object if the surface of that object has live virus on it. How long the virus can live outside an organism is completely unknown, although there are some ideas. Expert estimates a range from a few hours to up to 9 days, depending upon the type of surface, surrounding temperature, and the environment. We see a lot of people now wearing face masks, and the question is, should I wear a face mask? If you yourself are sick with fever and cough, you can wear a surgical mask to prevent transmission to other people. If you're healthy, there's not thought to any additional benefit to wearing a mask yourself because the mask is not airtight and it doesn't necessarily prevent breathing in those tiny viral particles. There are simple ways to protect yourself, according to the experts, against coronavirus. Number one, and these are simple, keep your hands clean. Wash them with soap and water or an alcohol-based hand rub. Number two, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Number three, clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces routinely, often. Practice respiratory etiquette. I love that terminology because it means by coughing or sneezing into your elbow, that's respiratory etiquette. Or cough into a tissue and then wash your hands again. And then avoid close contact with people who are sick. And then if you are sick, stay home. Here are some symptoms of COVID-19. The infection may appear 2 to 14 days after exposure and can include the following: fever, a cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing. It's recommended that if you have these symptoms to call your local health provider or the hospital and ask how best to be evaluated. Don't go to your health care provider or hospital without calling first. Remember this: prepare, prevent, and don't panic about COVID-19. The three P's: prepare, prevent, don't panic about COVID-19. This is Freddie Bell on New Beginnings with our take on the coronavirus, and we're trying to give you simple ways to protect yourself and your families. Let's continue now on New Beginnings and talk a little bit about your health, and particularly with organ donation. Now, it's not something we talk about every day, but we do know that donated organs can save lives, but not every donated organ is a perfect one. And so there are healthcare officials who are trying to get a better understanding of the organ quality and function, and this information could make more transplants possible. Organ transplants can transform lives, but they're in short supply. Right now, there are currently about 113,000 people on the national organ transplant waiting list in the United States, and a third of these will receive a transplant each year. Sometimes organs are declined because of uncertain quality. There was an examination done of people on the liver transplant list, for example, back in 2018, and they found that 20% became too ill to receive a transplant. 84% of those had their care teams decline a liver on their behalf because of quality concerns. Organs can also be declined for several reasons. Donors were over the age of 70 years old. Donors had hepatitis C. Or maybe the donor suffered from specific conditions that could make their organs considered higher risk. These conditions include obesity, acute kidney injury, or heart disease or other issues. There are some current approaches for ensuring that more organs are transplanted. A number of these include a combination of research and technological advancement in helping to ensure that more organs are used as effectively as possible. For example, accepting more organs from older donors. There was a study that found that people who accepted livers from older donors reduced the risk of mortality compared with those who declined. Also, keeping organs safe to transplant longer is called perfusion technology, which can expand the window during which lungs can be examined pre-transplant from 6 to 22 hours, and also using antiviral drugs to combat infection. Advanced drugs eliminate hepatitis C risk for people accepting an organ from an infected donor. And then understanding when an organ is less than perfect. Select organs from donors with acute kidney injury, for example, still had excellent outcomes when transplanted. The key, according to the experts, is understanding the risk. Accepting, quote, less than perfect organs versus declining them can improve the outcomes for people waiting on the transplant list. The ability to more precisely grade the quality of an organ could also result in more transplants, and this would benefit patients and reduce the wait times for others on the transplant waiting list. If you like more information about this, freddie@freddiebell.com, because the researchers are always trying to find the best use of imperfect donated organs and increasing the chance for hope. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled.
Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today there's a chance of storms with a high near 47. Tonight we got rain with a low around 33. Tomorrow rain and snow with a high near 49. Monday mostly sunny with a high near 55. And Tuesday partly sunny with a high near 55. With the state closing bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. They are all locally owned, so the money you spend stays local and helps them keep their doors open. More information at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning and hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. This is New Beginnings, and we're coming to the close of March, and we have some great information for you this weekend coming from West Metro Hypnosis, where the founder, Kelly Von Heidekamp, is with us this weekend. WestMetroHypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. That's the old way of communications, but nevertheless, it gets us there. Kelly, welcome back to the program and good morning.
Yes, it does get us there, and it is my pleasure to be here with you, Freddie.
I love the title. Absolutely love it. Who would you be? It reminds me of we used to play a game called Pretend Like or Pretend As If.
Okay. And so I'm curious now. Now you've awakened my curiosity. So who would you pretend to be?
When I was a child, I was trying to be or I would pretend as if I were a superhero, or I could run really fast, or I was the most intelligent person in the entire world.
Yes.
That's who I would be.
You know, it's so fun, and you know, this question is so interesting because I really don't have an answer for it, but I think it's such an interesting and important question. If you take a moment to really understand how we become who we are, and so much of who we become is from information that's been impressed upon us from different outlets, from the outlet of family, from the outlet of culture, from the outlet of society, from the outlet of education, from a job, from neighborhoods, from employers. And we humans do have a deep desire and a need to belong. We're community animals. We want to belong. We want to have a tribe. We want to know our identities. And I really just got curious about this question. Again, not necessarily because I have an answer for it, but in the absence of those external factors, who would we be? How would we show up? How would we make a decision or a choice on how we would be, on what we believed, on what we would do, on what choices we would make, on what foods we liked, what religious affiliation we would have, what political affiliation we would have. If we had absolute and total freedom, free from any sort of information being impressed upon us, what would we choose? Do you even know what you would choose? I'm not necessarily sure I would know what I would choose and how I would choose it. So today's topic is might seem a little, how should I say, unrewarding as far as getting any answers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's an important question to ask. And because you remember being a child, pretending back to those days, how do you feel about that question?
It gives me the idea that the power to choose is up to us. That doesn't matter the age, the time, or the space, that we still have that power to choose who we would be and what we choose to become.
Absolutely. And can we start to discern from last week the factors that are impressing information upon us and separating ourselves from that and really diving deeply into that question of who do I really want to be? If I was free from all of the perceived restraints that I have, who would I be and how would I show up? So just a little food for thought for this weekend.
Very interesting. If you'd like to learn more or if you'd like to share your thoughts, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. And this is New Beginnings.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't, you can't, you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You are listening to New Beginnings, and let's talk about best resources for money for your college-age students. Scholarship search websites promise students access to millions of awards totaling billions in free money for college, and they say that all you need is an email address to use the sites such as FastWeb, CapEx, and Unigo. But once you provide it, scholarship listings aren't the only things that you'll receive. You're going to get a lot of spam, too. But don't let the barrage of emails deter you from signing up or sticking with a scholarship website, though. You don't have to repay scholarships, making them the best way to pay for college. And here's how to use the tools to get more than just marketing emails. Number one, decide whether to opt out. Scholarship sites let you opt out of email communications, but you may not want to unsubscribe from everything. For example, FastWeb, which has helped students find scholarships since 1995, lets you select specific communications when you register. That way, you'll receive messages about award deadlines but not part-time jobs, for example. Number two, create a dedicated email. Providing an email is the price of doing business with many scholarship search engines and even other websites around the country, which count on advertising to pay the bills. That doesn't mean you have to give them your primary email address. Instead, create an email account solely for scholarship mail. It'll keep your marketers from your main inbox and help you to track your applications. Then evaluate these awards wisely. Some scholarships may be more likely to lead to spam and just be outright scam, so you have to be careful about this. And never pay for awards. And be wary of applications that require information like a Social Security number. That according to financial planners like Mike Nakashima here in the Twin Cities. He cautions that if it feels invasive, then put the brakes on. The key here is to know what you're getting into each time you enter the sweepstakes. For example, these scholarships may not be scams. You can win money, but their primary goal is collecting information to sell. And then finally, don't rely on websites alone. Consider some of these tactics as well. Look locally. Visit your high school guidance counselor or college financial aid offices to find awards from local organizations or businesses, as well as in the state of Minnesota or wherever you happen to live. Google it. Use searches that include your interests, potential majors, year in school, and other details. And then finally, read scholarship books. Check your local library for recent editions of titles like The Ultimate Scholarship Book and Scholarship and Grants and Prizes. These are all designed to help you to find the award money that's waiting on you. And as we continue talking about money, a money plan for tough times is something that all of us are looking for. The quickly unfolding coronavirus outbreak is an extreme case, but any sort of hard times will test our personal finances. Many people are now facing reduced work hours and income while watching with worry as the stock market goes up and down. Preparation is better than panic, according to the experts. However, and starting now is better than doing nothing. To get your finances ready for tough times, here are some things you should know. Number one, how to protect your credit score. Number two, how to triage your bills if you can't cover everything. And then also, how to think through your next move if you happen to lose your job. Let's take these step by step. Take a look at your spending. A budget makes you aware of where money is going so you can adjust when needed. There are some online tools that can help you to track your spending and set up a budget. And when you search for budget worksheets, it'll bring up options that can give you a framework and help you to remember expenses that don't happen much every month, such as car maintenance, for example. And once you know where your dollars are going, you can spot categories to trim. Finding ways to save money can also help you to start or bulk up on an emergency fund. And about that emergency fund, you don't need a huge amount stockpiled for it to make a difference. Even $250 in savings can help a family avoid pitfalls like missing a utility bill, according to a 2016 study by the Urban Institute, which is a Washington, D.C.-based think tank. And gradually build to $500 or $1,000. That can add more protection against financial setbacks. We're talking about how to plan through tough times with a money plan. Also, create a plan B to bring in cash. So if your paycheck from your main job is in danger of shrinking, a side hustle can be your friend. By thinking ahead, you can have your plan B ready to go. And things you might be able to do include selling gently used clothes, trading in old electronics, taking surveys, tutoring online and selling handcrafted items on Etsy. You may not make big money, but it will be something. If you sell items that you make, now may be a good time to increase inventory. Then also guard your credit score. You might find yourself putting more money on your credit cards, especially if you don't have an emergency fund or if most of your money is invested. It's essential to pay on time if you possibly can, even if it means carrying a balance. Paying on time is the most important factor in your credit score. And consider contacting your credit card issuer or lender if you are affected by the coronavirus. You may qualify for some leeway. For example, Citi has emailed customers letting them know about assistance, including credit line increases and collection forbearance. Also, be aware that how much of your credit limits you actually use has a big effect on your score. If your credit score is good, you could prepare by asking for higher credit limits or applying for a 0% introductory rate credit card. An exception, avoid new credit applications if you're about to finance or refinance a large purchase like your home or your car. It pays to safeguard your score because having access to credit at a reasonable interest rate can help you to navigate through rough patches. Also, it's important to know what to pay first if you can't cover everything. There are already some assistance programs available that suspend fees or cut what you have to pay. it's important to be strategic about paying bills when you can't pay them at all. If something has got to give, look at survival first. You need to cover food, utilities, shelter, and work-related expenses such as transportation, cell phone, and child care. Anything else can likely go unpaid. And skipping some payments will damage your credit, but you can rebuild later when the crisis is over. Again, it's important to have a plan if you lose your job. A lingering downturn can turn to long-term job losses. If your field of employment is vulnerable, it's wise to keep your resume updated and take advantage of networking opportunities. Joe McKenzie talks about this all the time. Losing your job can temporarily put your brain in a fog so deep it's difficult to think about what to do next. But having a game plan to handle job loss and a schedule of sorts can give you a leg up. This is Freddie Bell. We're helping you to have a money plan for tough times. And New Beginnings continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
If you want to do more, gain more, or be more, that's prosperity, our point of focus. Even though abundance and prosperity is as vast as the ocean, you can only carry as much water as your container will hold. If you want to enjoy more, if you want to experience more, if you want to have more, you have to come to the party with a larger container. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. You have to be in that moment and be ready to experience prosperity no matter how it comes. So when you come looking for water, bring the largest container you can find. And after you fill that container, be sure to share it with others. That's our point of focus, prosperity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill or the Meds on Cue application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
When you need legal assistance, let the Minnesota Lawyer and Referral Information Service help you find the right attorney. It's a new and enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in employment, real estate, wills, taxes, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister, and they invite you to their two Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m., as well as to their numerous weekly activities and classes. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
One of my favorite principles to live by was coined by psychotherapist, life coach, and author, Dr. Maria Nemeth. I attended a 5-day intensive workshop with her coaching staff 13 years ago seems like yesterday. The experience is still with me today. Not only was it a life-changing week that I spent, but I received 2 proposals of marriage during that intensive on the final day. The workshop leader was quite astounded. I was astounded. Every workshop you attend should have such a bonus. Maria Nemeth's definition of success is not only motivational, but it's freeing. It keeps you free from the judgments of others, judgments that you make of yourself, and it focuses your attention on your intention. Your self-generated purpose centers your life activity. A few years ago, the minister and author Rick Warren wrote a book that swept the country. It was entitled The Purpose-Driven Life. That is a focus, an intention that inspires, empowers, and guides all you do in your life and in your world. This approach to life not only keeps you on task, but keeps you in joy. 100 years ago, a student asked Dr. Rudolf Steiner, "Dr. Steiner, what do I need to do to be happy?" Well, Dr. Steiner had a habit of not trying to make people wrong. And he paused for a moment and he said, "Perhaps there's another question you can ask yourself. What is my task in life?" He knew from experience that the greatest joy and sense of well-being comes from fulfilling one's task, being purpose-led. So what is Maria Nemeth's principle of success? Well, to say it in one line, it is this: success is consistently doing what you said you would do with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. Let me say it again, not just to you, but to myself. Success is consistently doing what you said you would do with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. She characterizes this principle by saying, success, seen in this way, is an inside job. You don't have to compare yourself to anyone else. You don't even look at whether what you're doing is big or small. You look instead at the quality of your action and of your experience. Is it in alignment with your intention and purpose? Is it taking your joy in life one step forward by your action and even by your words? In a similar manner, Myrtle Fillmore, in Unity's early days, advised individuals who turned to her to focus and develop your spiritual gifts and avoid making comparisons with others. I always found that a very interesting statement. Why did she put it that way? To develop your spiritual gifts, and one way to understand that is in Charles Fillmore's conception of the 12 powers. And then she adds this all-important point: avoid making comparisons with others. This is an inside job. Developing these qualities of being that is God's gift and God's presence in your life, to cultivate them, nourish them, give them expression in your life, and then avoid comparing your progress with your progress. This is about what you need to do in your life. And as soon as you get off track and begin comparing your experience, your spiritual path with someone else, I start thinking, how am I doing? Well, I think I'll compare myself to Carol Moen and what she's doing in her life. That's just directed me off to a very good life, but not my life. I need to be about what is mine to do. Now, we have shared a couple of years ago a class on this book by Maria Nemeth, and I'm feeling a need, at least for myself, to put it back on the schedule this summer or fall. And some of you, I hope, will join me again, or perhaps for the first time, in exploring this idea. For some of us, we are taught that success means certain things. I notice it constantly on television, telling me what my life should be, what I should be doing to be successful. And I notice that I'm sometimes drawn into that, and then I get fearful and worried because I'm not doing what those people on the television are doing. I mean, every week they like save and put $10,000 in the bank, and then they do all these things with their profession, their career, and on and on and on. And by Myrtle's comparison, that focus on others just makes me feel like I don't compare it. I remember when I first came into Unity years ago, and I'd talk with lots of folks like we do, after church, after classes, and so forth. And some people were having, let's say, experiences in their inner life that I didn't quite connect with. They were seeing auras around people, the radiant light of the soul. They were seeing presences in the church that I wasn't seeing. And one day I woke up and I realized there I was down that long path of comparison. Why can't I see auras? Why can't I see Charles and Myrtle standing up here on the stage with me? Who? Until I realized, get the attention back on my path, my work. In her landmark book, Return to Love, many years ago, Marianne Williamson wrote, God speaks to you in the way that you can hear.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Recently, someone said, you look really happy. What's up? I had to admit that I was feeling good. My job, friends, and spiritual life are all in tune. It's just so good when you find a place that helps you over the bumps in life. Affirms that you are a special person and that all you desire is waiting for you to claim it. A place where there's no blame, no shame, letting you just be you. Embracing, loving, empowering. That's Unity South Church, a non-denominational spiritual community for adults and children, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. Come visit on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Unity South.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz here. During this unprecedented battle against the COVID-19 virus, I want to say how grateful I am for Minnesota's willingness to help one another. I also want to make sure that I say continue to watch your local news stations. Local news and local newspapers are putting out facts and not fear, and that's what it's going to take to get through this together. If you need more information, please go to the Minnesota Department of Health website. Together, Minnesotans will defeat this and come out better on the other side. Thank you.